Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing the issue about whether the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah, right, carries over, right, to Yom Tov, right? We know it's explicit in the Gemara, right, explicit in the memory of Rabbi Abba, right, that it's clear that the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah applies to Shabbos, or that's clear from Rabbi Abba's Lashon. But what's not clear in the Gemara is whether the din of Lecha Mishnah, whether the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah also carries over to Yom Tov. So you pointed out, you know, this issue about whether it extends, whether it carries over to Yom Tov, is presumably tolei on whether the mun, right, also didn't fall on Yom Tov itself and thereby fell in a double portion on Erev Yom Tov. So we were going through the Rishonim. We started off with, you know, the first Mechudosh approach, which we saw in the Rav Yah, and in two dayas in the Rav Yah of the Gaonim quoted by the Rav Yah, and a day in the Meiri, which both said that no, that the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah is limited to Shabbos itself. Basically, you saw that now those Gaonim in the Rav Yah and the Yesh Mefarshim in the Meiri explained the member of Rav Papa regarding the Lecha Mishnah or Hamotzi on Pesach. That's what we discussed yesterday. So I'd like to discuss today, I'll take quickly because it's pretty straightforward, right, the normative position, approach number two, right, adopted Lahalacha and by most Rishonim, that in fact the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah carries over, applies not only to Shabbos, but also carries over to Yom Tov itself. And as we pointed out before, this is going to be dictated by the position that that the mun didn't fall on Yom Tov itself and thereby fell double portion on Erev. So this takes us back to the Psukim themselves. If you go back to the Psukim, anybody have a Chumash with Rashi? Very basic. A Shemos? Anybody have?
Shemos?
No? Okay. But the Psukim in Shemos, Perek Tes Zayin, Psukim Chav Hei and Chav Vav, I guess I'll have here. Basically, this is where the Medrash comes off of. Basically, when the Psukim here, right, in Parshas B'Shalach, Perek, Tes Zayin, Psukim Chav Hei Chavav. So Pasuk Chav Hei says, Vayomer Moshe, Ichlu Hayom. Everyone should eat today. Ki Shabbos Hayom LaHashem, today is Shabbos. Hayom Lo Timsa'u Basadeh. Right? Today, you will not find mun which falls in the Sadeh. Fine? So it's clear in Chav Hei that the mun is not falling on Shabbos. But yet, in Pasuk Chavav, it says, Sheshes Yamim Til Ketu, you will collect mun 6 days of the week. Vayom HaShvi'i Shabbos Lo Yebo. But on Shabbos, the mun will not fall. So the Medrash is picking up on this, similarly, this redundancy. Why does the Pasuk repeatedly state that the mun will not fall out on Shabbos? So the Medrash, quoted by Rashi on Pasuk Chafav, says, it's come to tell you, right? The classic idea of a riboy, or eno inyan lazeh, tenoy inyan lazeh, that if we don't need the second Pasuk to tell you that the mun will not be falling on Shabbos, it must be teaching us that the mun will also not fall on Yom Tov and Yom Kippur as well. So the Mechilta de Rashbi, right, the Medrash quoted by Rashi over there, says very clearly that not only did the mun not fall on Shabbos, but the mun also did not fall out on Yom Tov. So while this Medrash and Rashi don't explicitly connect this to Lecha Mishnah and say, oh, therefore it must be there was a double portion on Erev, and therefore there must be a mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah, it doesn't say that, but at least the core of this normative approach, right, the basis of this approach of Lecha Mishnah applying on Yom Tov because the mun didn't fall on Yom Tov itself and thereby fell a double portion beforehand, really, right, stems all the way, or, you know, dates all the way back to this Medrash quoted by Rashi. So again, so the first makor, again, implicit for this idea is this Medrash quoted in Rashi al Torah that the mun didn't fall on Yom Tov itself. Just important to note that this Medrash itself doesn't explicitly connect this to the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah. That's only going to be explicated by later Rishonim. Well, it's fine. So that takes us to the Tosos and Psachim. So Tosos and Psachim, Kuf Tazayim Alav. Anybody have a Psachim here at least? Okay, we're gonna need the Psachim. So the Tosas and Psachim Kuf Tazayin Amud Aleph, Diramatzal Ma Darko, has a very, very interesting raya to this din that the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah applies not only on Shabbos, but also on Yom Tov. Right? Actually, Tosas, Shulam don't always do this. Basically, it brings a raya from like the placement of the memra. Anybody remember offhand? What Tosas? Yeah, exactly.
That it was put directly next to the din that we were bringing by Yom Tov, the day of Lecha Mishnah, and so he's almost like Dorish Smuchim.
In a way, right? So he's, right, he says to us, and we'll read in science just a moment, it's very important, he adds, the Iker, right, the Iker Sugya of Lecha Mishnah is really where? in Shabbos. That's key. That's a key point. Since we already have the Ikar Sugya of Lacha Mishnah, which is in Shabbos, already in the Sugya on Shabbos, Kuf Yizayin Amud Beis, so says Tosfos in Psachim, wait a second, why would the Gemara repeat? Basically, it's the same, if you think about it, it's really the same exact Gemara. Why is the Gemara repeat the exact same, right, it's the same, it's the memory of Rabbi Abba, then you have the Maaser of Kahana, the Maaser of Rav Zera, the same exact Gemara repeated in the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Tes Amud Beis. So basically, Tosfos asks the implicit question, why does the Gemara repeat the whole, right, repeat these three memories about Lecha Mishnah in the Gemara in Brachos if we already have it in the Gemara in Shabbos? So answers Tosfos, what is the Gemara trying to indicate by repeating it in this context? It's like, oh, as you know, not that called Dorish Smuchim, as a little bit of a joke. It's like, oh, no, it's all about the context. Since the context in Brachos, right before this line, was the same as of Rapapa, that HaKol Moldim B'Pesach Sheminiach Puso B'Sok Shleima, we'll get back to that. So since the context of Brachos is all about Pesach, so the Gemara is trying to do by repeating that whole, you know, the whole Gemara about Lecha Mishnah in this context is telling you that not only is the din of Lecha Mishnah a din in Shabbos, it's also a din in Yom Tov. So Tosfos is a very interesting, you know, type of raya. It says you can be medayik from the context of the Gemara, and then Tosfos explains. And now, it also makes sense. It's also right, Mistabra, because the whole basis of the Din of Lecha Mishnah is the fact that the mon fell, double portion Erev Shabbos. The same thing happened in Erev Yom Tov. So therefore, it's, you know, Mistabra, that the Din of Lecha Mishnah would also extend to Yom Tov, because the underlying reason of Lecha Mishnah based on the double portion of mon and Erev Shabbos carries over to Yom Tov. But I thought it was an interesting point to note, the very interesting raya that Tosfos brings, where he basically brings a raya from the context of the Gemara. So you have the, right, you have the this position implicit in the Medrash, quoted by Rashi. Then you have this explicit in Tosfos Psachim, who brings a raya from the context of the Gemara in Brachos. And then you have the Rif in Psachim as well. Right, so the Rif on Chaf Hey Amud Beis B'dapei Rif. We're going to come back to this Rif. There's a bunch of important lines in the Rif here. But do you have it? So the Rif in Psachim Chaf Hey Amud Beis. Again, it doesn't bring any rayas like Tosfos from context. He just comes more misvara. You see, starts with Upirshu Rabbanon. This Chafei Amud Beis, a little difficult. But here the Rif is going to say, right, Misvara, it's all based on, was there a double portion in Erev Yom Tov? He says, since there was, it's Pasha that the Din of Lecha Mishnah is going to extend to Yom Tov as well. Anyone have the Rif? Yeah, okay, go for it.
Bereshit Rabbanan, Yomim Tovim Nami, Bo Inyan Litzolash Deki Karos, the Shabbos.
So Yom Tov, you also need Lecha Mishnah, just like Shabbos. Why?
The Ikar Chiyuvim B'Shabbos, Mishum Delo Hava Haman, Nochis B'Shabbos. Since it fell double portion, that's why you have it on Shabbos, the Lach Mishnah.
So since the same thing happened in Yom Tov, same idea of a double portion,
Hilkach.
So for the same, right, Chiyuv to have two, right? A very important line, we'll see it in a second, we'll see the exception of Pesach, but generally speaking, Yom Tov has the chiyuv of Lecha Mishnah to have two full breads, just like you have the chiyuv of two full breads on Shabbos, right? So while Tosos, sounds like Tosos' main raya is coming from the context of the Gemara and Brachos, and then justifies that raya, right, Misvara, the Rif just goes straight to the Svara, right, the same reasoning of, or the double portion that it's Mechayev Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos applies on Yom Tov, and therefore that's Mechayev, the din of Lecha Mishnah on Yom Tov as well. Fine. And then you have the Rambam, right, in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed Halacha Tes. Anybody have the Rambam? Right, so the Rambam just says explicitly, it doesn't explicate any of his rayos, right, as the Rambam generally doesn't. Right, but the Rambam very clearly, when he talks about the Chiyuv, of, right, really, Shalash Shudas, of, right, Gimel Seudos on Shabbos, and you're going to see, and with those, the Chiyuv of Shalosh Seudos on Shabbos, he says you have a Chiyuv of Lecha Mishnah and a Chiyuv of being Koveh Alayayin, which is unique Shita of the Rambam, then he carries this over to Yom Tov, right? Gavi, do you have it?
Yeah, sorry.
Is there a Chayav Adam Lechel?
Chayav Adam Lechel, Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos, Achat Aris, Achat Shabbos, Achat Nib Shalosh Shudas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fine. Fine.
You
get sick from eating a lot, or you fast a lot,
if
you can't eat a lot, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You're potter.
See the line
of
Tzarech
Lekvo?
Are you up to that yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tzarech Lekvo, Kol HaSuda, Kol HaSuda Mishleshtem, Aliyayin, Velut Tzarech Lekvo. And you have to have, each of the Sudas, you have to be Batei and Shetuk
Pal Shetuk. Right, so he says there's a din of Lech HaMishnah by all three. Don't think it's just, let's say, the Suda at night, and then the first Suda during the day. And also he has this idea of, to have all of them aliyayin, that's a chiddush of the Rambam, to have wine at every, to have wine every meal, it's his own sugya. But then he carries it over, chim b'yom tovim. So, right, so the Rambam seamlessly, right, after introducing the din of Lech HaMishnah in the context of all three sudos and Shabbos, carries over to yom tovim. Right, this makes us normative. So you have, right, you have the Medrash, you have Tosas and Psachim, you have the Rif, you have the Rambam, and what really makes it normative is that the Shulchan Aruch passings this as well. Right, in Tav, Kuv, Chav, Tes, Aleph, anybody have a Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch clearly paskins this approach that the Chiv of Lech HaMishnah, right, Lemaisa, applies not only on Shabbos, but also on Yom Tov, right? So this is the Shulchan Aruch in the context of discussing, right, Sudas, Yom Tov in general, the famous, you know, Halach of Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. You have it? Nadav?
Sure. You want me to read the whole thing?
Start at the beginning and then I'll tell you what to skip. Right, so that's the famous idea of Chatzil Hashem, Chatzil Lachem. Then skip V'chayev Levtzoa.
V'chayev Levtzoa Ashtek Yikard V'lekboa Kol Suda Layayim.
Right, like the Rambam. So, right, this is clearly in the context of Sudas Yom Tov, the Shulchan Aruch clearly paskins the din of Lech HaMishnah. Right, it's very important. So, right, while you had certain, shitos in the Gaonim and the Rav Yah, the Yishim Farsh and the Meiri, who held that the din of Lech HaMishnah was limited to Shabbos, really the normative approach, which we presented second, the normative approach seems to be to carry this chi of Lech HaMishnah over to Yom Tov. Right, this is going to be very important because as we basically just established the normative approach that Lech HaMishnah carries over to Yom Tov, so now we're going to transition to discussing the din of Lech HaMishnah by Pesach. Right? And given the fact that the normative approach is that Lech HaMishnah is required in the context of Yom Tov, so now things are going to get a little complicated when it comes to Pesach, right? Because given Pesach is a Yom Tov, so presumably there's a din of Lech HaMishnah, at least according to the normative approach, but yet when we analyze, right, the Memra, which involves right, the Hamotzi on Pesach, things are going to get a little complicated about whether there in fact seems to be Lech HaMishnah there, right? So as we just established, right, we just saw the din of Lech HaMishnah by Yom Tov, now we're going to transition to discussing the din of Lech HaMishnah in the specific context of Pesach. So let's see the opening memra of the Gemara, which discusses the din of Hamotzi, the unique din of Hamotzi, in the context of Pesach. Ari, would you mind reading Amar Papa? Exactly. So the simple pshat in the Gemara, how many prusos are there? How many shlemos do there seem? One of each, right? It sounds like from the Pashpashah and the Gemara, right, over Papa, you have one prusa, midin lechem oni, and then you have one shlema. And the big question is, right before you see any mefarshim, is, wait a second, what happened to Lech HaMishnah? Because we just said before, Lech HaMishnah, generally, what does Lech HaMishnah require? What types of breads in the tunnel?
Whole.
So if you just read the Gemara straight up, you would say, oh, the fact that you don't need two full breads, the fact that there's din of lechem oni, which say, break one of the breads in half. So simple pshat in the Gemara seems like, oh, there's no din of Lech HaMishnah by Pesach. And if you just read the Gemara, and especially when the next line of Rabbi Abba says, Dafku b'Shabbos requires Lech HaMishnah, so the impression you get just from the Pashpashah of the Gemara is like that first Mechudosh approach of the Gaonim and the Rav Yah and the Meir, and they were going to tell you, simple Pashah in the Gemara is that there's no Din Lech HaMishnah by Yom Tov. And that's the way they're going to simply read the Gemara. Look, you don't have two Shlemim because there's no Din of Lech HaMishnah on Yom Tov and thereby on Pesach at all. So the simple Pashah of the Gemara seems to say, one Prusa, one Shlema, and therefore there's no Din of Lech HaMishnah. But what we're going to see, that most Mefarshim are going to say no. Like we said before, most Mefarshim are going to have to say there has to be Lech HaMishnah by Pesach, because we just established that the normative approach is that most people hold that there is Lecha Mishnah by Yom Tov, and Pesach is Kula Yom Tov. So you're going to have to deal with this issue, right? And then we're going to see in one of two ways, which we'll get to in a second. Either you're going to say, Lav Davka Shlema, either Rishonim are going to say, there's a din of Lecha Mishnah, so therefore, since Lecha Mishnah requires two Shlemim, when the Gemara says, Prusa Betoch Shlema, it's really Lav Davka, it's really Prusa Betoch Shlemos. That's one way to get out of the, you know, this simple Pshat in the Gemara. The other more mechudish way to say to get out of this issue is say no, even though there's a requirement of Lecha Mishnah, and even though Lecha Mishnah ordinarily requires two shlemos, for some reason in the context of Pesach, you're yotze the din of Lecha Mishnah with one prusa and one shlema. So those two different reads of the Gemara. But again, how do you explain how you, you know, how there's Lecha Mishnah here, either by saying there must be either two shlemos, or by saying no, one shlema suffices. We're going to get back to this as a topic in a few moments, but first I'd like to just have an introduction. But before that, Natan.
Isn't there an inyan of when you make hamotzi that you're supposed to make it on something shalem anyway, so why do we say that it's a shlemos is an inyan by Lecha Mishnah? It could just be Lecha Mishnah is way of two, and shalem is a side point of inyan hamotzi.
Good. So we're going to get back to that also. That's an excellent point, Natal. And it happens to be, I think tomorrow's Makoros, I'm going to have you see the Gemara right in front. Right, we're talking about, right, Tosas brings it right from context. The context of the Gemara is all about that issue, about the inyan, l'chatchila, making a bracha on shlema versus a prusa. And that's actually in that context that the Gemara brings in this line in Pesach. So you're 100% right. We're going to get back to that tomorrow. So, but 100% right. But before we analyze those different shittos about whether the Lecha Mishnah Pesach can be accomplished through just having one shlema, one prusa, or whether you really need two shlemos aside from the prusa, before we really are able to appreciate that machlokas, I'd like to take a step back and spend a couple minutes analyzing the din of Lechem Oni. Right? Because what's the mechayev? What's the reason why you have a prusa? Lechem Oni, right? The din of Lechem Oni, which says Ma Oni, right? Rashi tells it, right? Ma Oni Shadarko Beprusa. So too, right? Just like an Oni generally doesn't have access to full, like when you're wealthy, you can go to the bakery and say, oh, I want that full one. That's nice. But when you're poor, you get what you get, right? And generally, an Oni only has access to Prusas in order to, right, to commemorate the Anius, which we'll get back to in a second. So on Pesach, there's an inyan of breaking the matzah as well. So that's the din of Lechem Oni. But in order to get to appreciate how Lechem Oni impacts the din of Lechem Mishnah, we really have to take a step back and better understand the inyan of Lechem Oni. Okay? So let's just spend a couple minutes, so had you guys see some chorus about this, and let's discuss the nature of the din of Lechem Oni. So if you just think about the mitzvah of matzah, if I were to ask you, Yedidja, what does matzah represent? Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? What does matzah symbolize?
The last Messiah quickly.
Well?
The last quickly.
Okay. All right, so the simple pshat, 100%, and most people can bear this out, the simple pshat, the symbolism of matzah is a symbol of the geula, because, as you said, right, every kindergarten kid knows, right, we left Mitzrayim so quickly that our bread didn't have time to rise. So the simple, right, understanding of what the symbolism of matzah is that the matzah is a symbol for geula. But what complicates things is the fact is that the only symbolism of matzah? What's the other symbolism of matzah besides for the geula? Geula's cheros. Besides for that? Lechem Oni. So if hit me one here. You know, it's like, wait a second. So the same matzah, which symbolizes geula, or lohispik batzekem, right, etc., etc., is the same matzah, which is lechem Oni. Which, well, why is it lechem Oni? Because, why is it lechem Oni?
There's a lot of
opinions. But simple pshat. Why does matzah?
That's what they have in the shop.
Exactly. When you're poor, you don't have time. You don't have time for your bread to rise. I mean, right? Just like they didn't have time, for their bread to rise when they were leaving so quickly. Also, when you're poor and you're a slave, you don't control your own time. Also, you're only able to eat matzah. But if you think about it, you have to ask the question. Wait a minute. So, what is matzah about? Is it about the geula, or is it about the shibud? Or is it about both? And if it's about both, how can you have one mitzvah dedicated to two opposite themes? So that's what I'd like to discuss right now. What is the mitzvah of matzah all about? And thereby, where does this din of Lechem Oni, which highlights the shibud component to matzah, where does that fit into the larger scheme of the mitzvah of matzah. So we're going to develop two general approaches right now, and you'll see where the, you know, how this is going to impact the rest of the sugya. So the first approach is going to say that Yedidya's initial reaction is really the full picture, in a certain sense. The first approach is going to say that the mitzvah of matzah is really focused all on ge'ula. Right? And according to this approach, the whole, really the focus of the mitzvah of matzah is all on ge'ula. And the din of lechem oni, right, the aspect of matzah, which is not about the ge'ula, but it's rather about the shibud, that represents a side external kiyum. Right, according to approach number one, the mitzvah of matzah itself is focused exclusively on ge'ula, while the din of lechem oni and its corresponding theme of shibud is an external din. Approach number one. Now let's just see certain rishonim, certain mefarshim, which highlight this idea. And we're going to see there's going to be a group of mefarshim in line with this approach to say that all the dinim of lechem oni are thereby not ma'akev the mitzvah of matzah. Because the mitzvah of matzah, according to this first approach, is all about ge'ula, therefore lechem oni and its corresponding theme of shibud is a side kiyum. It's external to the mitzvah itself. And therefore that external din of lechem oni and its theme of shibud can't be ma'akev the ikar mitzvah, because the ikar mitzvah is all about ge'ula. And therefore, even if the matzah at hand, let's say, is matzah ashira, it's matzah which represents ge'ula and doesn't represent the shibud thing, you're still going to be yotze the ikar din of matzah, because the ikar din of matzah is all focused on the ge'ula. So the earliest source for this idea is a daya in the Yerushalmi. If you look at your Makaro sheet, the Yerushalmi here quotes the din, this is the Yerushalmi in Psachim, Perek Beis Halacha Dalet. So here the Yerushalmi introduces the psul of matzah ashira, right? One of the classic, you know, manifestations of the din of lechem oni. So because lechem oni, you can't have like fruit juices in there, because that makes it a matzah ashira, a matzah, a bread of rich people. So the Yerushalmi here is going to quote two deos, right? And the first deo is going to say like this first approach. He said, this inyan, this psul of matzah ashira is only lechatchila, but it's not ma'akev the mitzvah itself. Binyamin, would you mind reading the Yerushalmi?
Rav Sima b'shem Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Also, kazai shadam yotzei bo yidei chavaso pesach tzarech shalai hei b'mashkim.
So that's the halacha, right? It's the psul of matzah ashira, or the matzah that you're yotzei in the mitzvah with should not have shar mashkim, because that makes it into a matzah ashira and doesn't, right? It makes it not lechem oni. But now the question that the Yerushalmi is going to, you know, have different deos about, this requirement, this psul of lechem oni / matzah ashira, what extent is that psul? So the first day I'll say,
Rabbi Yirmiyama lemitzvah isarim. Rabbi Omer lemitzvah isarim.
All right, so the first two days in the Yerushalmi, it's just lemitzvah, which in contrast to the next day of le'ikuv, makes it very clear, what does lemitzvah mean in this context?
It's
lechatzchila, right? Mitzvah ba'alma, it's an inyan lechatzchila. So the two deos in Yerushalmi of Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rebbe clearly align with this first approach, that really, b'ikaron, fundamentally, the mitzvah of matzah is all about ge'ula, and therefore your yotze, the ikar mitzvah, even if it's matzah ashira, because matzah ashira is all about, you know, ge'ula, there's an inyan of lechem oni, there's a psul of matzah ashira, that's only lechatzchila, because the factor of lechem oni, the theme of shibud, is external to the mitzvah itself. So you have this in Yerushalmi, and then you have this famous shita of the Maharal. So the Maharal famously adopts, paskins these shitos in the Yerushalmi, right? And the Maharal has an interesting riot to this, but says similarly that the psul of matzah ashira is only a psul lechatchila, but me'ikar adin you could be yotze the mitzvah of matzah even with matzah ashira. So first, Piyamin, again, if you turn the sheet over, the first quotation of Maharal, again, has one line where it says this very clearly. And I don't have access to the Maharal, but I'll present his raya in just a moment. But the key line, right, what does that mean?
If you only have matzah ashira, so you're unable to be mekayim the din of lechem oni, but why should you at least be mekayim the din of matzah?
Right. So most people would say if you have matzah ashira, you can't be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah, because lechem oni is defining of what the mitzvah of matzah is all about. But the Maharal in line with the first deos in the Yerushalmi, again, adopts this first approach and says, no, lechem oni is a distinct din. It's an inyan lechatzchila for your matzah to also symbolize shibud. But fundamentally, right, bi'ikaron, as meaning there's a separate, you know, mitzvah of matzah, which can even be fulfilled with matzah ashira. So the full Maharal, basically, which part of it's quoted in the Magen Avraham that I had you see. The Magen Avraham, we'll see, rejects the shita of the Maharal. But one of the Maharal's rayos, which is fascinating. What's the raya? Natana, do you remember? From what realm of halacha does the Maharal bring a proof? Exactly. Maharal says, oh, you see in the realm of menachos, right? The menachos, which are generally, right, there's no chametz in the mikdash, generally. And menachos are generally matzah. So their matzos are, their the mayim, is me'urav with shemen and other things. So says the Maharal, the fact that shame matzah, when it comes to in the realm of menachos, is even by matzah ashira, so too the shame matzah for Pesach also must include matzah ashira. Oh, lechem oni, that's a distinct din. So which is like fascinating, and I'll take questions in a second, that the Maharal thinks that the shame matzah on Pesach is equivalent to the shame matzah in the context of menachos, and therefore he brings Rabbi and says, just like matzah ashira is a shame matzah for menachos, who had denami shame matzah ashira is a shame matzah for Pesach. Oh, there's a big difference, because lechem oni, says the Maharal, lechem oni is an external side din. Inyan lechatzchila, if you can mekayim it, great, but if not, even if you're not mekayim lechem oni, you're still mekayim the ikar mitzvah of matzah. Yeah.
How can matzah ashira have a shem matzah if it's made with if it's not made with mayim, it can't become.
It's both. And Maharal's talking about a case. I don't want to get into details. Maharal's talking about a case where it's a mixture of water and meperos. So in that case.
I'm looking at Maharal.
Exactly. That's the Magen Avraham's context. But you're 100% correct. Sorry, I left out that detail. I don't want to get too involved in the details. But Maharal is talking about a case where it's a mixture of Mayim and Meperos. Okay? Yeah, Nadav.
It seems like more than just saying that. It seems like one of the Mechudash things about the Maharal, and maybe I'll tell me if this is correct, mm-hmm. is that he wants to say that the mitzvah of Lechem Oni is a completely distinct mitzvah b'fnei atzma mm-hmm. from matzah, as opposed to a tzad that modifies the mitzvah of matzah. Meaning it's not just. Yeah. Not even like a separate din in the matzah. It's just like a separate
Hume
altogether.
Yeah. So the way I would conceptualize that is that I think the Maharal thinks that the mitzvah of matzah is all about geula. It's all about zerchel geula. Lechem oni is a distinct din that, in addition to being a zecher to the geula, there's also an inyan to have a zecher in a l'shibud. That's what lechem oni is all about. But you're 100% correct. The Lashon of the Maharal seems to say that the Iker Mitzvah of Matzah is all about Geula, while Lechem Oni is the side external din, which therefore cannot be Ma'akiv because it's external to the Mitzvah itself. You're 100% correct. So that's approach number one. So approach number one says the Mitzvah of Matzah is all focused on Geula, and therefore Lechem Oni and the theme of Shibud is all external to the Mitzvah itself. It's a side kiyum. The second approach, again, which is the normative approach, is going to say no. That the factor of Lechem Oni integrates into the Mitzvah of Matzah itself, which results in saying that the Mitzvah of Matzah is comprised by two distinct themes. Both the theme of Geula and the theme of Shibud. And therefore, according to this approach, both themes are going to be ma'akev. You need both. And therefore, if you're missing lechem oni, right, in the case of matzah ashira, which is lacking the requirement of lechem oni, so then you're not going to have any mitzvah at all. So again, approach number two, which is the normative approach, is going to say that matzah is comprised of both themes, both of shibud and of geula, and therefore the din of the tanai, the requirement of lechem oni, is ma'akev the mitzvah of matzah, because lechem oni and its corresponding theme of shibud integrate into the mitzvah itself. So if you're looking for like one pasuk which encapsulates this idea that the mitzvah of matzah is comprised of both of these factors together, is one pasuk found in Devarim. Anybody have a Devarim? Thank you. Right, Devarim Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Gimel. I was very excited when I saw this. So you see, in this pasuk, the Torah integrates both of these themes, the Lechem Oni theme of Shibud and the Geula theme of Matzah, all together in one fell swoop. So again, would you mind? Either Meir or Gavi, whichever one.
The Pasuk?
The Pasuk. Starting with the Pasuk. Shivas Yamin? So stop that. But what did you just say? Shivas Yamin, Tochel Olav Matzos, and how does he define what? How does the Pasuk define Matzos? Matzos are Lechem Oni, right? Commemorate the Shibud. But then right away it says, what else is Matzah all about? Right, because we left so quickly, and therefore, you know, implication is the bread didn't have time to rise. So in the Pasuk itself, again, in Dvarim, Tes Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, you have both of these themes right next to each other. Basic implication being that both of these themes of Shibud and Geula are both integrated into the mitzvah of Matzah itself, and we're going to see, and therefore, according to the normative approach, approach number two, therefore, both of these factors are going to ma'akev, are going to be ma'akev, and therefore, if you have a matzah which doesn't fulfill the tanaim of lechem oni, you can't be yotzei at all, because the mitzvah of matzah is about having both of these tanaim, both the theme of geula and the theme of shibud. So, right, let's just demonstrate, you know, this normative approach in the Mefarshim, that Lechem Oni is Ma'akev, which is therefore an indication that Matzah is comprised of both of these themes. The first one is the Yerushalmi, right? So the last day in Yerushalmi, of Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, Amar li'iku v'samris. So there, the third day, right, quoted in the Yerushalmi, is that Lechem Oni, right, in this case, the psul of matzah ashir is completely ma'akev. And if lechem oni is ma'akev, it's clear that's not just an external side cam like the Maral and the earlier deos in the Yerushalmi think, but it's rather, you know, this factor of lechem oni and its theme of shibud integrates into the mitzvah of matzah itself. So you have that dea in the Yerushalmi, and then later on, it's quoted lahalacha by the Magen Avraham. Anybody have the Magen Avraham? Magen Avraham in Tav, Ayin Aleph, Sifkaton Hey. So there, the Magen Avraham brings a very strong raya from just the simple pshat in the Bavli, right? The simple reading of the Bavli seems to imply that the psul of Lechem Oni is not just an inyan lechatzchila like the Maral assumes, but it's ma'akev. Right? It's actually, I had you guys see this, but just some background to the Magen Avraham, right? So the Mishnah and Psachim Lamed Hey, basically, what's the case in the Mishnah on Psachim Lamed Hey that the Mishnah says is puzzle that relates to the topic of Matzah Ashira? Gavi? Exactly, right? So Chalos Toda and Rikike Nazir, which have mixed into them, what's mixed in?
Oil.
Exactly, oil. Right? So the Gemara, so the Mishnah says you can't be Yotze, the mitzvah of Matzah, with Chalos Toda and Rikike Nazir. And the Gemara on Lamed Ches ask the basic question, why not? Right? If it's matzah, why can't you be yotze the mitzvah matzah with these types of matzos? So the Gemara presents two different reasons. What are the two reasons presented by the Gemara? Anybody remember?
Can you eat them all 7 days?
Exactly. I think the second day, is that right? Totally fine. Second day is that it can't be eaten for all 7 days because, right, these are kachim, there's a time limit, and in the context of, you know, indeed, like Karban Toda, famously, can only be eaten, even though it's a shlamim, can only be eaten one day, one night, famous and on that. Okay, you can answer later. Right, so it's kachim is a limited zman. So therefore, right, there's a judge from the pasuk, shivas yamim tochal matzos has to be roi, your matzah has to be roi for all 7 days, this is only roi for one day, so that's one daya. What's the other daya? Lishma. Right, it's lacking lishma. Since these matzos were baked l'shem kachim, basically, not l'shem matzah, so that's the problem. So then the Gemara Lamed Ches says, wait a sec. And then the Gemara, first of all, it quotes those two psulim in the name of Amarayim, then it quotes two brisios, which substantiate those two different reasons. And then the Gemara asks a question. Why do these Amarayim and these brisios need to come onto these factors of the Shema and the Zman? There's a simple reason, which seems to be posel. And what's the simple suggestion?
Lechem Oni.
Lechem Oni, Matzah Ashira. So ask the Gemara Lama Chasim Abiz, Why does the Gemara come onto these fancy drushas? Simply, it's lacking lechem oni. These are matzah ashira because there is shemen mixed in. The Gemara ends up answering, no, it's not a problem matzah ashira because there's so little shemen in these matzos. That's not for our discussion. But basically, says the Magen Avraham, what does the question imply? What is the question? The Gemara says, oh, be posel these matzos because of lechem oni. It sounds like what?
Shemen harbe.
That would be ma'akiv. If the Maharal is correct, and if the Bavli is really passing the first day of the Yerushalmi, that lechem oni, matzah ashira, is just an inyan l'chatzchila, so what's the Gemara asking? Oh, why don't we bring up the psul of lechem ashira? The reason why we don't bring up the psul of lechem ashira, of matzah ashira, is because that's not ma'akiv. We're bringing up l'shma and the zman, because those are factors which are ma'akev, right? So it's clear from the fact that the Gemara asks that question, but the fact that the Gemara asks the question, why aren't you posel? Why don't we explain the Mishnah's psul based on lechem oni? It's very clear, says the Magen Avraham, that the Bavli is passing like the third day in the Yerushalmi, that lechem oni and the psul of matzah ashira are ma'akev even b'diavad. Right, so again, that's the Magen Avraham, and this is the right lahalacha. This is what we accept, that the psul, the din of lechem oni, and the psul of matzah ashira is ma'akev. So you have the third day on the Yerushalmi, and this is Magen Avraham, right? Lemaisa, basically adopting the second approach, which says that the mitzvah of matzah is comprised of two themes, not only about geula, but also about shibud. Oh. But we now have to take it one step further. We have to now ask the very basic question. According to the second normative approach, that the mitzvah of matzah has these two themes, both of geula and of shibud, I have to ask a very basic question, as we alluded to this before. How can you have one mitzvah with two opposite themes? Or where else do you have a mitzvah which is have two opposite themes? If you just think about, you know, other things on Pesach, you have Maror, which is all about the shibud. You have the Karban Pesach, which is all about the chirus. Generally, you know, each item on Pesach, on the Seder night, or let's say Charoses, is all about the shibud. You pick your different items, each one is focused on one. Because it seems very strange to have one item of matzah which has two opposite focuses. Both the shibud, lechem oni, and the geula. And the big question within this second approach is, how do you understand the fact that the mitzvah of matzah has two opposite themes? And this question is actually, I think, is succinctly asked by the Maharal himself, which I think is very much l'shitaso. You see the second quotation of the Maharal. The Maharal basically asked this question. Kovi, what do you mind? See in the second line, Eich? So what does that mean? What is he asking?
How can a mitzvah
How is
matzah lechmoni and also be shayach for geula?
Right, he's pointing out, I was very excited when I saw this. He's asking this exact question. How do you have matzah, which is about lechmoni, be connected to the theme of geula? These are opposites. Is it geula or is it chirus or is it shibud? Pick one. And I think the fact that the Maharal asks this question, I think, is very much l'shitaso. Because if you remember, the Maharal is adopted approach number one. Maharal said, don't tell me that both of these themes are both comprised within the mitzvah of matzah. Right? Says the Maharal in approach number one, no, the mitzvah of matzah is all about geula. Oh, and the inyan of lechem oni? That's a side din. Because the Maharal l'shitaso basically says to himself, how can you have one mitzvah of matzah which has two opposite themes? So the same Maharal who asks this question is bothered by how can you have the mitzvah of matzah which is about both lechem oni, the shibud, and geula, is the same Maharal who earlier basically said, therefore lechem oni is an external din. There's a din of matzah which is all about geula, and there's a separate din of lechem oni which is about shibud, and never the twain shall meet, basically. But that's fine for the Maharal, but the question is, how are we going to be miyashiv? How are we going to understand the normative approach in the Mefarshim, right? Which basically say, no, although they're opposite themes, but both of these opposite themes are contained within the mitzvah of matzah. That's the big question. So we're going to present two different mahalchim here. We'll call them versions 2a and 2b. Again, two different versions of the second approach, that the mitzvah of matzah contains both themes. We're going to see these these different versions are going to play a crucial role in understanding all the details of our sugya, and that's why we're starting with this Hakdama. So the first version, we'll call 2A, is that the reason why you have these two themes of Shibud and Geula within one mitzvah of matzah is because it's all about the contrast. And the idea, we'll see, the Sfarno, I think, develops this idea, and that is you can't fully appreciate the Geula without first understanding how bad the Shibud was. So the Geula, without the context of Shibud, is basically meaningless. So according to this first version, basically, and you'll see what I mean by the contrast, but according to the first version, the themes of Geula and Shibud remain two distinct dinim within the mitzvah. It's all about the contrast between them. Right? You have the Shibud, the Lechem Oni, which serves as a contrast, as a foil for the Geula theme within the matzah. So again, according to this first version, 2a, oh, the question was, how can you have two opposite themes within the mitzvah? The point is, yeah, because it's all about the contrast. Because you can't appreciate the Geula, right, that the matzah represents, if you don't first appreciate the Shibud that it was coming from. But according to this first version, it's basically the Shibud and the Geula represent two distinct dinim, two opposite themes, and the whole point is that as opposite themes, they're supposed to serve as contrast to each other. So this idea that the Lechem Oni and the Geula serve as contrast, I thought was perfectly encapsulated by the Sforno on that spot, right? That same Pasuk in Devarim, Tes Zayin Gimel, which basically put together Lechem Oni and the Geula side by side. So in that context, the Sforno, Gavi, you still have the Sforno open?
Yeah.
Has a very interesting line where it's all about the contrast, highlighting this called version 2a. See, but Tom Lahaskir?
Yeah, sorry?
Yeah.
But Tam Lahaskir, Chipazo and Halechem, the reason that we're mentioning that the reason for Masa is Chipazo, Muras also Chipazo,
Oni,
Hailcha, Acherka, Chipazo, and Ulu.
Right, so what?
Like a switch.
What? It's more like exactly, it's like a replace, yeah, it's like the exact replacement. Like your tumor, like in a halachic term where you try to replace.
Chipazo and Oni.
Right, so there's a beautiful idea, he said, because the same exact chipazon, the same lack of time that caused Klal Yisrael, they didn't have time on their hands, therefore they couldn't allow their bread to rise when they were in Shibud, that same theme of chipazon then gets flipped, replaced with the chipazon of Geula. Right? So the same chipazon which caused them to eat matzah in their Shibud is the same chipazon which caused them to eat matzah during their Geula. Actually, you know, in a little in Yonah Dioma here, Ke'inyan, or from Yirmiyahu. Right, when you were Mahapech, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Mahapech, is going to flip Avelus to Sasa. Right? So the Sforno was very clear. The way he understands the relationship between the Lechem Oni component of Matzah with the Geula component of Matzah is that they serve as contrasts. Right? Because look at this contrast. The same Chipazon of the Shibud gets flipped into the chipazon of the Geula, and now we can, you know, how much more so can we appreciate the Geula in this light? So again, according to version 2a, it's again, both Shibud and Geula are both integrated into the mitzvah of matzah, and they're integrated by serving as contrast two distinct dinam. But this is going to bring us to approach 2b, which is my suggestion, based on Rav Hirsch, which I think is going to explain a number of halachos in the sugya. Just going to basically explain the integration in a slightly different way. It's going to say that it's not that, right, the Shibud and Geula serve as two distinct dinim, right, which serve as contrast side by side. It's rather, I'm going to say the words, you're not going to understand them, but you'll explain afterwards, just conceptually. It's not that the Shibud and the Geula serve as two distinct dinim, but rather they completely integrate into one din, in the sense that the Shibud, you'll hear my words and you'll understand them in a second, that the Shibud sheds light on the Geula. So again, it's not that Shibud is a contrast to Geula, but rather Shibud in some way sheds light, redefines the Geula. Those are words that don't seem to make sense. Like, how does a Shibud redefine a Geula? These are opposites, right? So I'll explain in light of Rav Hirsch. So Rav Hirsch I'm a big fan of this. Refersh, I think, explains a lot of things in halacha. Refersh points out, when you think about the symbolism of chametz and matzah, just basic fact. What is the one difference between matzah and chametz, just factually? They're both made of the same ingredients. What's the difference? Exactly, whether they have time to rise. Excellent. Right, chametz has time to rise. Matzah, halachic definition, is that it didn't have time to rise. It's under 18 minutes. Fine. Says Refersh, because that is the distinction between chametz and matzah, in that distinction, right, about whether the bread had time to rise, is going to be the symbolism of chametz versus matzah, as follows. All right, this is the Refersh on the source sheets, and Shmos Yud Beis Tesvav. He says as follows. Chametz, which had time to rise, represents chirus, right? Because someone who is free has time, all the time in the world, to allow his bread to rise. So chametz represents chirus, because someone who's free has the time to allow his bread to rise. Matzah, on the other hand, this is very key, according to Refersh, represents lechem oni, represents shibud only, as you see in just a moment. Because why? Says Refersh, matzah is baked by someone who doesn't control their time. And, right, and what's the paradigm if someone doesn't control his time? Someone who's an eved, someone who's in shibud. So says Refersh, the symbolism of matzah is all about shibud. So chametz, which is baked by someone who controls his own time, represents chirus. And matzah, which is baked by someone who doesn't control his own time, represents shibud. So says Refersh, now you have this huge irony. So during the Chag of Pesach, which is all about celebrating what? What do we say? Chirus. So you would think, wait a second, which of the two symbols should you embrace and which one should you reject? You would think you should embrace chametz, which is all about chirus, and reject matzah, which is all about shibud. Says Refersh, and this is the kicker. No. Because on Pesach, when we're celebrating our chirus, we want to highlight that we were completely dependent on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha. That our chirus, our rise to freedom, in that rise, we were completely meshubud to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This has Refersh. On Pesach, we embrace the symbol of matzah, which is all about shibud, to highlight that our path to chirus, now you might understand my words before Lema Freya, that our path to chirus was Betoras Shibud. When we, as a nation, became free, we became free, but we didn't become free because we were completely free. It was like, it was all us. We were all dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and says Refersh. Therefore, when we're celebrating chirus on Pesach, we specifically embrace the symbol of Shibud, the symbol of matzah, which all highlight that we were meshubud to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But if we were to embrace the symbol of chametz, that would make it sound like we became free because of all of our doing. Because we're free. Yeah, we're chametz. I mean, it's chametz. It was all our doing. No, we reject chametz, which has the connotation of kochi ve'otzem yadi, and embrace matzah, which is all about shibud. And again, because in this way, the shibud represented by matzah sheds light on the nature of our chirus, that our in our chirus, it was really our chirus was a betorah shibud to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, in conceptual terms, what arises from this, if you think about what Refersh is saying, exactly like we were saying before, that the lechem oni of matzah isn't some, it's not just a contrast. That factor of lechem oni, that factor of shibud, says, remember, Refersh at the beginning says, matzah is all about avdus, meaning saying Refersh, matzah is all about lechem oni. Lechem oni isn't just a side foil serving a contrast. The factor of lechem oni, the symbolism of shibud, redefines the entire point of matzah, because that redefines even the symbol of geula, that even our geula was betorah shibud in the sense that we were reliant on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a perfect, right, I'll say, representation of approach B. So I'll just summarize. Again, summarize everything so far. Right? Approach number one says that lechem oni is a side external kiyum. The Maharal on the first day of the Yerushalmi, that matzah is all about geula, and lechem oni, the theme of shibud, is external. Approach number one, and therefore it can't be ma'akev. Approach number two, no! The din of lechem oni integrates into the mitzvah of matzah itself. So within matzah is both shibud and gula. But within that, two different versions. 2a says, yeah, within matzah you have two distinct themes, gula and shibud, and the whole point is the contrast between them, so they remain distinct. You have the shibud, which serves as the contrast to the chirus. That's 2a, highlighted by the Sfarno. It's all about, you know, the flip. It's all about the contrast. But version 2b is that, no, it's not that the shibud and the gula remain two distinct dinim within the mitzvah matzah. No, the theme of matzah is really all about lechem oni, because the theme of lechem oni and its theme and its corresponding theme of shibud really recharacterized, redefines the whole geula, that our geula, we were, right, in the context of our geula, we were completely reliant, we were completely meshubud to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Now that we have these different, you know, understandings of Lechem Oni, I think we can now go back and better appreciate some of the dinim of Lechem Oni, you know, as applied to the din of Lechem Mishnah. And that was the purpose of all this. So, for the remaining time we have here, so much time, let's look at the first issue that comes up, which is the issue we referenced before. How many shlemos are required for the din of Lechem Mishnah? Right? Right? We know if the din of Lechem only requires one prusa. Now the question is, how many shlemos are going to be accompanying that prusa? So we're going to see here two approaches. Right, the first simple approach, adopted by many Rishonim, is that aside from the prusa, to be Mekayim Lechem Oni, you need two matzah shlemos. Just like the din of Lechem Mishnah by Shabbos and Yom Tov, right, requires two shlemos, so to here you need two shlemos, right? And according to this, very reasonable, no lumdas needed, it's just, right, prusa for the Lechem Oni, and then two shlemos for Lechem Mishnah, just like you have by Shabbos and Yom Tov. So just quickly point out, this is, right, the Shita adopted by a number of the following Rishonim. Number one is Rashi, right, again, the Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Tezayin Amud Aleph, is adopted by Rashi there, Dirmaschul Avkan Berprusa, the Rashbam there, the same Dirmaschul Avkan Berprusa, Tosos there, right, and Dirmaschul Madarko. I'm not going to read through all these, because it's just pretty explicit. We're a little short on time. And the Rosh Hamsachim that we actually read the other day, the Rosh Hamsachim, again, in Perek Yud, Simen Lamed, and Shulchan Aruch, Yonan Lamaisa, and Tov, Ayin Hei, Aleph. So you have Rashi, the Rashbam, Tosos, the Rosh, Shulchan Aruch, all taking a very simple approach, that in addition to the Prusa, you need two different Shlemos, and the way they're going to understand our member of Rapapa, the little Lavdavka, when it says, Meniach Prusa B'toch Shlema, really means prusa betoch shlemos, right? It's really plural because the same din of lechem mishnah, which requires two shlemim by Yom Tov and Shabbos, is going to carry over to Pesach as well. Okay, that doesn't require any, you know, any explanation. It's very simple. The second approach requires explanation. The second approach in the Rishonim, we'll see in just a moment, they're going to say no. Although the din of lechem mishnah in the context of Shabbos and ordinary Yom Tov requires two shlemim, the din of Lechem Mishnah on Pesach is unique. And the din of Lechem Mishnah is unique in the sense because of the din of Lechem Oni, we'll see, comes along and redefines Lechem Mishnah. Although Lechem Mishnah generally requires two shlemim, the din of Lechem Oni is going to redefine the din of Lechem Mishnah to say that although generally Lechem Mishnah requires two shlemim, here in the context of Pesach, Lechem Oni dictates that you could be Mekayim Lechem Mishnah through one shlema and one prusa. Before we explain how Lechem Oni does that, and we connect it to the Hakdama that we just gave before, I'd like to just see this inside in the Rishonim. So first, that riff. Right? If you still have the riff in Pesachim, Chav Hei Amud Beis. So the riff is a very striking lashon in terms of explaining how this works. Eli Melech, do you still have that riff? And Chav Hei Amud Beis, but right in Pesachim, he says, I think it's right after the riff says that, oh, there's a din of Lechem Mishnah by Yom Tov, he says, Hilkach by Pesach. Yeah?
Pesach.
You see, Hilkach by Pesach, Mevarchinan. Anybody have it? You got it? You go for it, Javi?
Hilkach. Oh, wait.
Oh, no. Hilchos BePesach Mevarchina Al Chada Uprusa. I'll just read it. Hopefully you'll find it well because we're a little short on time. Hilchos BePesach Mevarchina Al Chada Uprusa. On Pesach, you for your Lechem Mishnah, you only need one Shlema and one Prusa. Aval B'Shar Yomim Tovim B'Tzeinin Al Tartin Rifaata Shlema Takish Shabbos. Generally on Yom Tov you have two Shlemos. Skip a little bit. Ubit is a key line. Ubit Pesach. Asa Lechem Oni. The din of Lechem Oni comes along. Vigara Lepalga Dechada. And comes along and literally like takes away a half of one of the Shlemos. Hilkoch Bitzeinan Achada Upalga. Says the Rif, a very important idea. The din of Lechem Oni comes along and redefines the Kola Torah Kula din of Lechem Mishnah. Although Lechem Mishnah generally requires two Shlemos, Lechem Oni comes along and redefines that and says, on Pesach, Lechem Oni dictates that the way you're Mekayim Lechem Mishnah is through one Prusa and one Shlema. Oh, we'll get to that in a second. So you have this little riff. The Rambam in Chametz Matzah Periches Halacha Vav similarly says this, adopts the position of the riff, that, right, although generally, all right, in Shabbos and Yontif, you need two Shlemos, on Pesach you need one Prusa and one Shlema. And he says, oh, although generally Lechem Mishnah requires two full ones, he says Lechem Oni dictates that the Halacha is different by Pesach. In addition to that, I just want to make sure I'm a little rushing here. I didn't have you see this because the base mentor has it, but there's a Tosas Rush in Psachim. Right, it actually came out more recently, so it's like a special safer. The Tosas Rush in Psachim, Kufi Dalad Amin Aleph. If you look there, Dirmas Lahiviu, is Medayik in the Mishnah there. The fact that the Mishnah only talks about, like, you know, in Lashon Yachid of bringing one full matzah, the Tosas Rush also says very clearly, like the Rif and the Rambam, that when it comes to Pesach, all you need is one Shlema and one Prusa, and he has a very beautiful Lashon. Again, the Asa Lechem Oni, says Tosar Rush, comes along the Din of Lechem Oni, the Gar Asa Lechem Mishnah. It comes and redefines the Din of Lechem Mishnah, the Ukmeya Prusa, to dictate that the Prusa is allowed. Oh. Now I want to connect this. So here you have a fascinating phenomenon of the Din of Lechem Oni coming along and redefining a Din of Lechem Mishnah, which applies Kol. You know, Kol Hashana Kula. Just one second, I'll take it afterwards. I'm sorry. So I think the fact that you have this Din of Lechem Oni, which would completely redefine the Din of Lechem Mishnah, I think would only make sense according to certain approaches we're developing before in Lechem Oni. I'll go through it. If Lechem Oni is simply a side kiyum, is external to the mitzvah matzah itself, so then, since it's only an external din, it would be very surprising for that external din of Lechem Oni to completely redefine the din of Lechem Mishnah. So, for sure, according to approach number one, this doesn't make sense. Even according to approach 1a, which says they have a contrast between the Lechem Oni and its theme of Shibud, in contrast to the theme of Geula. Similarly, since Shlemos represent Geula, right? Right, if the Prusa represents Shibud and the Shlemos represent Geula, so similarly, the Lechem Oni shouldn't come along and redefine and say, oh, you no longer need Shlemos. It should say, oh, in addition to your Shlemos for Geula, in addition to your two Shlemos, which are needed for Geula, Lechem Oni should come and tell you you need an additional third Prusa. But again, since it's all, even according to approach 2a, the Lechem Oni doesn't redefine anything. It's just a contrast. You have your Geula, and Lechem Oni is a contrast of Shibud. So it should be a contrast. You have your two Shlemos for Geula, and have your third Prusa as a contrast to Mekayim Lechem Oni. It's only according to approach 2b, where we say that the Din of Lechem Oni isn't some external kiyum. It's not even some side kiyum. It's not even some side thing to serve as a foil, as a contrast, but that the theme of Lechem Oni redefines the entire mitzvah of matzah, because the theme of Shibud, of Lechem Oni, redefines the entire Geula. So then it makes sense why you have certain shitos, that the din of Lechem Oni would completely redefine this inyan of Lechem Mishnah. Even though this Lechem Mishnah is a mitzvah, Kol Hashana Kula, when the Lechem Mishnah is applied on Pesach, where you have this theme of Lechem Oni, which is not just a side kiyum, but it's this overarching theme, because Lechem Oni, Shibud redefine, it's not just about the past history of Shibud, but that Shibud redefines the whole entire Geula. So once you, basically, according to approach 2b, the Lechem Oni is this central din you know, throughout the mitzvah of matzah. So then you can understand why the din of lechem oni isn't just mechayev, oh, an additional prusa, but comes to completely redefine the din of lechem mishnah. And then we'll continue with this tomorrow and certain other dinim, which also demonstrate that the din of lechem oni isn't just some side external kiyum, not even a sort of a contrast, but really is a completely overarching, redefining din. Pick up tomorrow.